awa wala tinkering tum tum. Soluwa, awa wala tinkering tum tum. Si aleta wa, eh awa ile popo. Eba wayo, ala fi ambo wa. Shoki, shoki, shoki.
I'm Dawn Burns, and this is The Sauce, a soul-satisfying taste of arts, music, and culture that will have you coming back for more. And we're right here on your NPR station, 88.1 WVPE. Aaron Nichols is executive director of the South Bend Civic Theater. He's an award-winning actor, director, and designer. Before taking this role at the Civic in 2017, Aaron had been an active volunteer at the Civic and other theaters around the region for over 15 years. He believes that a civic arts organization has a responsibility to reflect its unique and vibrant community. His bio stresses that through curiosity and engagement, a community-based theater must work to share everyone's story, thus creating understanding and empathy. And he truly exemplifies these values through his leadership, vision, and dedication to the entire community. I spoke with Aaron recently, and he expressed his excitement to begin an outdoor live series of performances, including the SpongeBob musical in Xanadu, and how the South Bend Civic Theater has become a hub for all of the arts, not just theater. He also talked about directing Boom, a dramatic comedy where art meets life in a pretty intimate and timely way. Welcome, Aaron Nichols, to The Sauce. Thank you for being with me today.
Oh, a pleasure. I love the show, and I'm humbled to be on.
Thank you so much. Well, now, Aaron, as the executive director of the South Bend Civic Theater, I want to jump right into how amazing you all have done since this lockdown and during this year of COVID and all of the adventures that came with that.
Adventures is right. Thank you. I mean, I feel like we have stayed front of mind, that we have continued to produce, which is definitely a challenge. It's an adventure. And it is constant pivot. I think nimble is the word we use the most at the theater to just say, you know, we had one plan, but we're not going to be able to do that. So what can we do instead? And, you know, it was small scale stuff. We tried really hard last summer. You know, March is when everything shut down, but we were like, we can do this outdoors. You know, that's that first pivot.
Yeah, and I was at that show and it was amazing.
It
was,
you know, it turned out nice.
Experience. Yeah.
Yeah. And the show you're talking about is Emma. We did out in the park in Leaper Park in South Bend, and we had masks, you know, these face shields on all the actors. They were all wearing gloves and getting sanitized backstage. And we had a go, no go number. And we just, the numbers just kept creeping and creeping and creeping. And one of the hardest conversations I've had to have with a cast ever was two performances into a run, say, it's just not safe anymore. We have to stop. And it's that's that's so hard when you put all that work into it and people are enjoying it. People want to come, but we had to say, it's not safe. We have to be smart, and we have to shut it down.
Yeah. Knowing what we know now about how things sort of are outside, do you think that with the knowledge that we have now that it might have changed your perspective?
It's hard to have hindsight like that. You know, I think it was good that we were data driven. I think especially in those first couple months, there was just a lot of arbitrary decisions being made. And I like the fact that we said, when we reach this number, when we pass this threshold, then we are going to stop. And then we did. And I think a lot of our patrons and even, you know, a lot of the volunteers said, thank you for doing that. You know, it felt like there was some meat behind the statements you were making about public safety. And, you know, it really did. It was catastrophic financially, but I still would say it was the right decision. And then with theater, not that uncertainty is the additional concern is you have to have 3 months in advance to get a show ready. So, you know, when numbers are just climbing, it's irresponsible to be preparing for more shows.
Absolutely.
So that's where we just said, okay, we have to be done. Unfortunately, that caused a furlough. I just celebrate and thank my staff who understood, who knew that if we're not producing, we can't make money. So they knew that the intention and then the reality was that they would be brought back. but only when, again, when it was safe to do so, not just public health, but financially safe to do so.
And you really did. You have gotten creative over the last year. You kept things going, like the educational component with the programs that you're running, and you kept it moving. You've kept it moving ever since. You've done readings. You've been streaming things. Most recently, you have finished Boom, a performance that you have directed.
Yeah, and I love that show because it's basically about surviving quarantine during a global crisis while we, in fact, are surviving quarantine in a global crisis. So it was this really meta world that we were talking about as we were doing it. And it's a comic, kind of comic discovery of this experience. And I actually did the show 10 years ago, and we had no idea that, you know, the actual world would go through something like this. And so when we picked the show, it was like, hey, let's laugh a little bit about this. You know, let's exercise our demons a bit in a comedic way of how frustrating and just maddening it is to be stuck in a room with another person for a long period of time.
Right. And I read through some of that, script. Yeah. I was able to tap into, and they were both a little bit eccentric, and there was definitely a lot of humor there. Did any of those characters resonate with you personally?
Oh, I think all of them in a way. I mean, definitely the couple or the two people who are kind of forced together in this, catastrophe, you know, their catastrophe is a little worse. You know, the whole world is kind of this isn't a spoiler. They talk about it right at the beginning, but yeah. You know, the whole surface of the earth is basically destroyed and they're the last humans in the world. It wasn't quite that bad for all of us, but the third character is this character named Barbara, and she is kind of the spiritual and, you know, scientific guide for the observer, for the person watching the show. And I think that was an interesting place, you know, for me to watch her, because, you know, it feels like for the last year, that's what I've been doing, trying to explain to people, here's what's happening and here's what we're doing and here's why, you know, and trying to stay positive, but sometimes getting a little crazy because it's just too much to bear.
I live it every single day in my own class.
But I mean, at the end of the day, it was just so good to be back in a theater and back in a creative space. You know, and that's why we're doing what we're doing and trying, because streaming theater is great, but it doesn't give a lot of people opportunity to be in that collective experience. You know, Right. You're watching it just like you watch Netflix, and that commonality, that communal experience, you lose. And so that's why, you know, we're really driving forward to try to do outdoor productions while we can. So May through August, just four amazing large scale productions outside, and I really hope it comes together.
You're listening to The Sauce. I'm Dawn Burns with Aaron Nichols of the South Bend Civic Theater.
Right, and you're just coming off the South Bend Fringe Festival, which doesn't only happen in South Bend, correct?
Yeah, that was actually started in Edinburgh, Scotland. And something, because Grace Lazars, who's incredible on our staff and an amazing artist, she suggested, oh, why don't we try this? I had actually been to the Edinburgh Fringe like 3 years ago in 2019, and I had no idea how gigantic it is. It's actually, Dawn, it's the third largest event in the world behind the Olympics and the World Cup.
It's remarkable.
And yeah, and ours is a little lower scale than that. You know, we have seven outdoor venues instead of their hundreds of venues. But we thought it was I'll give Grace the credit, was a wonderful opportunity to use our kind of position as a grandfather organization, as mm-hmm. one of these cultural kind of anchor organizations, and say, we're going to do all the work for you. We just want you on the stage doing your thing. And that gave, you know, we didn't know how many people would apply for it. Over 75 artists applied and 28 were selected and then got to basically do their thing in downtown South Bend. In the first time anybody's done anything in downtown South Bend, really performative in over a year. So we just felt so honored to be able to have the kind of capacity to allow all these artists to do their thing. I feel like the Civic needs to be a hub for the arts, not just theater, because we really are the downtown community arts organization. And I feel like there's a lot of there's a mandate there to help artists thrive.
Well, I think that what you have been doing, especially since you've arrived at the Civic Theater, the way you've brought in the, you've heightened the level of diversity and inclusiveness all over the theater, and that reverberates all over the city. So that's got to mean a lot to you and really to your board. And I know it certainly means a lot to our community.
Well, it's, to me, again, it's that mandate. It's, if you're going to be South Bend's Civic Theater, you know, if your name has, you know, the city in it, you have to look like the city you're in. And for a long time, we didn't. It's still hard. It's still a challenge to really build the trust that may not have been there. But it is a main priority. And we have something called an idea task force. An idea is something that's kind of gaining traction. You had D&I and EDI and all that stuff, but now it's inclusion, diversity, equity, and access. And, you know, those four words kind of bundled together create our commitment to this work, and, you know, always looking for what are new ways that we can amplify underrepresented voices. And those relationships, that trust, is what changes the demographics over a long period of time. I mean, it's going to take a decade, and maybe, you know, maybe longer, but we're in it for the long run.
It's creating a much better reflection of the true nature of our city.
Absolutely. The vibrancy we've discovered just through some of this work. I mean, I'm not surprised. It's just neat to be exposed to it, to see all the wonderful things that are going on just, you know, right down the street in some cases.
I see that you have the SpongeBob musical will be coming up very soon.
Yeah. Tell me about that. We thought, okay, after all of this pain and suffering and, you know, isolation and, you know, just depressive kind of year, we just need to laugh. And so, you know, what better way to laugh with SpongeBob SquarePants, you know, in a pineapple under the sea. And it also gives a large number of our youth who have not had that community either. You know, a lot of these kids, you know, even when they're going into school for virtual hybrid kind of stuff, it's still very structured. It's still very isolating. And so as many times as we can find opportunities to connect kids, it really does mitigate some of the scary isolation that we're starting to hear about. It, you know, it helps with mental health. It helps, you know, with just the idea of I'm not alone, you know? And so what better way to do that with a comedy musical, right? Where everyone's just running around like sea creatures and singing their hearts out.
Absolutely. Now, how many kids are actually cast in the show? Are you casting children or is it adults?
Yeah, we're casting children, and we are being very careful. I want to say all, you know, around all of this, the safety protocols, safety procedures, we are following to a T, you know, what the county health department is telling us to do, whether that be testing or, you know, recommendations of vaccines, masks during rehearsal, you know, and we hope that, you know, the vaccine will be opened up to younger kids. And I know that that's on the horizon. So a lot of that questions, again, is we can't answer it until we know what the new rules are. So it is, again, pivot, that nimble thing. And, you know, I hope that we have, you know, 30 kids in SpongeBob. You know, you have to have limitations just because when you have that many kids together, you have to preserve distancing and some of that stuff, but they're used to it. And it makes me sad to say this, but it's old hat to them. So, you know, they're more willing to do it, I think, sometimes than the adults, just because they've been in the midst of it with all their schooling.
Yeah. It's essentially second nature to them. Now I know for sure I'm a teacher myself and the kids know the drill.
Yeah.
It's not unusual for them at all. Yeah.
Well, and it's fun because we're going to do it outside. And I think that's with the safety thing, that's why we do want to make everything outside, at least until we have to go back in, which will be September. So that, you know, the next one we have will be a fun experience for adults, which will be Xanadu, the musical, in July. And that SpongeBob will be in Mishawaka and Xanadu will be in downtown South Bend at Howard Park. But if you want to have a good time, holy cow, that is just silly rainbow roller skates, disco, just mania. It is just so silly and stupid and wonderful.
I love it.
You know, yeah, exactly. It's what we need more than anything. I just want to sit around and laugh with people and, you know, watch people embarrass themselves with incredibly talented voices and abilities, right?
Absolutely. But, it's all I can do right now to not bust the, I think it's Olivia Newton-John song.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the thing that I think is funny, Dawn, is, and people are like, Xanadu, isn't that terrible movie from 1980? Yeah. And yes, it is that terrible movie from, and the makers of the musical know how terrible the source material is. And it is just parody homage to the excesses of the 80s in every way. You know, down to the fact that Olivia Newton-John, for some reason, had you know, an Australian accent as a muse from Mount Olympus.
Well, I couldn't think of anything better to sort of transition into as we're in the middle of the summer and we're sort of getting toward the end of, you know, this pandemic that is unprecedented, and that you guys have, with such grace and concern and intention, have really navigated beautifully.
And I would say, you know, everybody get your vaccine, you know, go, you get your vaccine, that brings back the arts. And, you know, I've heard people say that, you know, in variations of that. It's hard because for patrons, when we're bringing people back inside in the fall, you know, how do we navigate that? And we don't know yet. And again, we're just going to have to hold our breath and see where the world is, because we don't want to make vaccine requirements some sort of equity issue. Because, you know, if one group is getting vaccinated at a lower rate than another, you know, the work that we're trying to do to open and welcome and just create inclusive environments is being kind of it's counterproductive to that effort.
Right.
So we need to be careful of that. And I think that's a conversation that a lot of people are going to be having as we start to get whatever herd immunity is, or, you know, people being, you know, vaccination averse. We need to say we are here for everyone, and how do we do that safely without making it feel like it's been politicized or, you know, in some other way. It's this united front that I think the arts and all entertainers are going to have to figure out. And I hope we spend the next 4 months doing that. So when we do get to September, that we know how to best take care of our community.
Absolutely. And, you know, that issue of trust comes up again, you know, in this conversation as well, where, you know, communities have lost a sense of trust, and it's hard to win that back, but it takes time. And, you know, I'm hopeful, and I feel positive that, you know, we'll be able to get to a place down the line.
I'm Dawn Burns with Aaron Nichols of the South Bend Civic Theater. You're listening to The Sauce.
Well, we are already in a better place than we were a year ago. But I will say, you know, there was that feeling like when we hit January 1st, it was all going to go away. Oh, we survived 2020, you know, all of these things about that. And I really think, Dawn, that 2021 will be harder for most arts organizations than 2020, because it's so much harder to reopen than to close.
Right. Because just surviving.
Yeah.
Is right, really challenging, and then how do you even pick up where you left off? You really can't. You're starting over in so many ways.
But we are optimistic.
Yeah,
we are. I use the word resilient quite a lot too. Mm-hmm. And it. I just want to give amazing credit to our patrons, our sponsors, our donors, our, you know, all the people who love the Civic, because they have helped. They have believed in us. They have invested in us, even when we're not doing, you know, the primary function that we, you know, we're organized to do, which is live theater. You know, they believe in our mission, you know, to create community, even if that is in atypical ways now. But I'm so happy to say that, you know, we navigated 2020 at least without having to go into debt, which I know we are very lucky. And I think that really should... I should include the generosity and the just extreme compassion that I think our whole family has had for the realities that we're all going through day to day as performing arts organizations.
Well, that's a testament to your leadership, everyone's leadership there, and just the team that you all have, you know, with really are all on the same page. And you've got the same goal in mind, and you do it with all the passion and everything you have in your heart and soul. And that is beautiful.
Well, thank you. I like I said, I'm humbled, and I feel so lucky to be able to, you know, kind of steer an organization like the Civic that has so much potential and can really be that organization that brings a community together. And there's not a lot of those organizations. So like I said, that is a profound responsibility that I take very seriously.
Yeah. Well, the organization is in good hands.
Thank you.
All right, Aaron, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. And I look forward to seeing you in and around the theater.
Oh, I love it. I'll give you a hug, I promise.
I can't wait to get there for the next event.
All right. Thank you, bud.
Thank you. Take care.
That was Aaron Nichols of the South Bend Civic Theater. Coming up, saxophonist Danny Lehrman. You're listening to The Sauce. I'm Dawn Burns.